This teaching is the last of a series of four entitled A Brief Look at Elijah, delivered by the Reverend John W. Howe, rector of Truro Episcopal Church in Fairfax, Virginia. This teaching was presented at the Friday night prayer and praise service held on July 17, 1981. The title is, Where is the God of Elijah? And the scripture reference is 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 9 through 14. The reference made by Reverend Howe to Karen in the early part of this teaching refers to his wife.
With a brief intermission last week, we've been taking a very quick look at the figure of Elijah and really just hitting two major events in his life. The tremendous confrontation that he had on Mount Carmel with the false prophets, the prophets of Baal and the Asherah, and then the despair that came afterward as Jezebel rose up to wipe him out. And then we jumped ahead to the very last day of his life. One of the things that God had said was that there were 7,000 in Israel who had not bowed the knee to Baal. Elijah felt himself to be all alone, and God said, no, I know it feels that way, but there are 7,000 who are standing with you. And I'm going to lead you to others who will share your ministry. There are kings to be anointed. There are prophets to prophesy in your place. And the ministry is going to be distributed to others. And in particular, the man who was to bear the major portion of Elijah's ministry after him was a man named Elisha. And so we followed a very interesting, a very strange and circuitous route last time, 2 weeks ago tonight, as Elijah took Elisha with him on the very last day of Elijah's ministry here on earth. And God took him up into heaven in a whirlwind. Elijah's one of the two men in the Bible who never died. He was carried off. Enoch was the other, way back in the book of Genesis. Two men who didn't die, who were simply spirited away bodily into heaven. And before that happened, Elijah took Elisha with him on this rather strange journey in a big circle in the middle of Israel. They went to Bethel, first of all. And Bethel was the place where God had given the promise to Abraham, everything that you see is going to be yours. This is your land. This is where God gave the covenant promise to Abraham. And much later, his grandson, Jacob, who became Israel, had a dream in Bethel. You remember the story, the dream of the ladder, opening of heaven, and angels ascending and descending. And so they went to Bethel. That was the first stop. And we raised the question, are you willing to move on to your own personal Bethel, to the place of God's covenant, to the place of God's promise, to the place where you dream dreams, to the place where you see visions, to the place where you begin to have as your heart's desire that which God has for you? And we just speculated that maybe that was the question that was being raised for Elisha as he followed Elijah to Bethel. And then they moved on to the city of Jericho. And Jericho, you remember, was the place where Joshua won his first major victory. It wasn't really a military victory at all, because they won the city without firing a shot. It was a supernatural victory. God gave them the city of Jericho, and it's the place where God began to capture the territory. You remember that they had been promised the whole land, but for 40 years they couldn't get in. When they finally got in, the first city they came to was Jericho, and that sort of symbolized enemy occupation. And God gave them Jericho supernaturally. And it was the place where he first began to capture the territory. And so we raised the question, are you willing to move on to your own personal Jericho, to the place where God begins to capture the territory of your life? Or put it another way, to the place where God begins to become active in your life. Are you willing to move from the promise to the power, to the place where God really begins to move in dramatic ways in your life? And perhaps that was the question that journey was raising for Elisha as they came to the city of Jericho. And then finally they moved on to the Jordan. And they actually crossed the Jordan, remembering without any question, remembering in the crossing of the Jordan, that this was the great symbol of division between the wilderness on one side and the promised land on the other. And that after that 40 years of wandering, when they finally came up to the Jordan and God parted the waters supernaturally and Joshua led the people across, it was a recapitulation of the Red Sea parting at the beginning of their wanderings 40 years earlier, but it was also the assurance that they were leaving behind a kingdom of darkness and they were coming into a kingdom of light. The Jordan has always been a symbol of great division for God's people. Crossing over Jordan, we reflect that in so many of our hymns and our choruses and our little songs, don't we? Going to cross over Jordan. Jordan River is chilly and cold. You know, Jordan River is deep and wide, milk and honey on the other side and all that sort of thing. And so they crossed over Jordan and that was a symbol of entering the land that God had promised, of coming to dwell in the promised land. Now, mind you, that is not a linear development. That's a very strange circle. And it's not a historical recapitulation. Those events are all out of order. But there's a certain logic to that progression, isn't there? Moving from the promise to the power to the place of sustained provision. The place of sustained provision. I think that's what crossing the Jordan symbolized. All that time they were in the wilderness, they were depending on supernatural bread from heaven. But it says when they crossed over Jordan, the bread stopped, the manna stopped. They ate the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. This was the place of God's provision. This was the place he intended for them to dwell. Okay? And so the question was, are you willing to move on to your own personal Jordan, to the place of resting, of abiding, of dwelling in God's promised place of provision? Book of Hebrews says, there's a rest for God's people. Strive to enter that rest. What a funny phrase. Strive to rest. Strive to enter that rest. In other words, bring all of your energies to bear on coming into that place of settled rest where we know God's provision day by day. And so I suggested last time that perhaps these were the questions that were being provoked by this funny little journey, this sentimental journey that Elijah took Elisha on. Are you willing to go to the place of promise? Are you willing to go to the place of power where God begins to get active in your life? But even more importantly, are you willing to go to the place of rest, to the place of provision, to the place of abiding? And I left you right in the middle of the story. I didn't finish it deliberately. A woman came up to me after the meeting 2 weeks ago, and she said, it was a lovely talk, but it really didn't make any sense at all. She said, all this journey that you took us on was inside the land of Israel. And when you crossed the Jordan, you were going out of the land of Israel. You weren't coming into the land of provision. You were going out of it. They were in Israel. They ended up in Moab. She said, what in the world are you trying to prove with this crossing over Jordan, coming into the land when they were going out of the land? I said, Karen. Said, you come 2 weeks from tonight. You notice that she didn't. Oh, God, didn't I have enough ribs as it was? 2 Kings, chapter 2, verse 9. 2 Kings, chapter 2, verse 9. When they had crossed the river, they're on the other side. They're outside the land of Israel.
Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken away from you." And Elisha said, "I pray you, let me inherit a double portion or a double share of your spirit." Remember when God instructed Moses to get 70 others to share the ministry with him? And he said, take men who are already elders among the people, you know, already have proven gifts of leadership. But he said, that's not going to be enough. I'm not going to ask anybody to minister simply out of their own natural gifts or developed talents. He said, I'm going to take some of the spirit which is upon you and distribute it upon them. This is Elisha's prayer. Let me inherit a double portion of the spirit which is upon you. Not take it away from you, but that God would share it with me. And look at the holy greed that he has. He says, I don't want what you have, I want twice as much. See? Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit. Elijah said, you have asked a hard thing. You've asked a hard thing. Yet if you see me, as I am being taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if you do not see me, it shall not be so. And as they still went on and talked, behold, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, "My father, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." And he saw him no more. Let me have a double portion of your spirit. Elijah says, in effect, that's not for me to say. But God will give you a sign. If he's prepared to answer this prayer of yours, he'll let you see me as I'm carried away from you. It's God's to answer that prayer, and his alone. Could I say to you that no bishop ever made anybody a priest? If God didn't make him a priest, he's not a priest. God's the one who does the ordaining. God's the one who does the anointing. He works through the agency of the bishop laying on his hands, but the bishop doesn't answer that prayer. And Elijah says, it's not for me to answer that prayer. God's the one who answers it. If you see me as I'm taken up, that'll be a sign to you that God is answering this prayer. Elisha does see him as he's being carried up in the whirlwind into heaven. And he saw him no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. That's always a symbol of bereavement. He's lost his friend. He's lost his mentor. He's joyful for Elijah, and yet obviously there's the personal pain of separation and loss. And he took up the mantle. Mantle is just a scarf. It's kind of like the tippet or the scarves that we wear. He took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him, and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water, saying, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" And when he had struck the water was parted to the one side and to the other, and Elisha went over. Elijah recapitulated the ministry of Moses. We saw that in so many ways earlier in this brief series. And the first thing that Moses' successor had to do was what? Was cross the Jordan. The first thing that Moses' successor had to do was cross the Jordan. You remember, Moses was not allowed into the promised land. He was taken up to the top of a mountain where he could look over and see it. But because he, along with his whole generation, had sinned in the wilderness, God said, you're not going to cross over. And only two people from that original band crossed over. That was Joshua and Caleb. They were two of the 12 spies who had gone to check out the land. They were the only two who said, God is with us, we can take it. The other 10 said, And the people believed the other 10, and the whole generation perished in the wilderness, including Moses. including Moses. God took him up to the top of Mount Pisgah, and he looked over into the promised land, but God took his life there, and it says in the last chapter of Deuteronomy, God buried the man Moses there on the mountain. Joshua inherited the leadership of Israel. And the first thing that Joshua had to do was lead his people across the Jordan. Isn't it interesting that Elijah takes Elisha with him and crosses the Jordan to get him on the other side of it so that the first thing he has to do is cross the Jordan again for himself. For himself. And in the wonder of it, I mean, if you can, I can hardly get myself into the head of Elisha at this point. You know, he's witnessed miracle after miracle at the hand of Elijah, his mentor. He's had this incredible journey with Elijah. The last piece of the journey, they've had a supernatural parting of the Jordan. They've gone across dry shod. Here he is standing on the other side in alien territory. And Elijah's taken up into heaven, okay? And he's prayed a prayer, and God is, and Elijah has said, God will answer that if he gives you the sign that you see me before I'm taken up into heaven. He catches a glimpse of him before he disappears into the clouds, picks up the mantle, and comes back to the Jordan. Can you imagine yourself standing there at that moment? And all of the responsibility of representing God to your generation has now devolved onto your shoulders. And you've prayed that prayer, and God, you trust, has spoken through Elijah and given you a promise. And now you're holding the symbol of office in your hand, and you come up to the water, and you say, where is the God of Elijah? And he strikes the water, and it parts. And God reduplicates the miracle. This is the fourth time. The Red Sea parted. The Jordan parted for Joshua. The Jordan parted for Elijah. Now Elisha's all on his own, plus God. One plus God is a majority. And the Jordan parts for him. If you read the next several chapters, and I really encourage you to do that. It's some of the most exciting reading in the whole Bible. If you read the next several chapters, just note how many of Elijah's great miracles are reduplicated by Elisha. Virtually every single one of them. All of the things that made Elijah this towering giant to his generation, God duplicates. It's slightly different. The circumstances are slightly different, and yet there's a parallel, including the multiplication of food and the raising of the dead. Elijah did it, and Elisha does it by the power of the Spirit of God. I'd like to suggest to you that Elijah was a great teacher for two reasons. Number one, he didn't just describe, he demonstrated. He didn't just describe, he demonstrated. In essence, he's saying, Elisha, here's how you do it. Come to the Jordan and you pray and you trust God and he opens the water. Here's how you do it, Elisha. Elisha had lived under the discipline of a teacher who didn't just give words but gave the demonstration. But secondly, and perhaps even more importantly, Elijah knew that the anointing was from God. And he said, I can take you this far, Elisha, but now it's up to God. You better get your anointing from him. And Elisha did so. He calls out, where is the God of Elijah? And he discovers that the answer is right with you, right in your ministry. The anointing's upon you. Wouldn't you have loved to have been there? Well, do you know that we've got a greater promise than that one? Jesus said this, he who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father. He who believes in me will do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father. Can you put yourself into that story? That we've been at the feet of Jesus, we've seen the example, we've heard the teaching, we've walked with the Master, we've seen how he does it, and he said to us, I'm going to cast my mantle upon you. Don't be distracted, those are just your children. Kids, we'll be done in a minute. I'm going to cast my mantle upon you. If you will believe in me, that God's Spirit is with you as he's been in me, the things that I do, you're going to do, and you're going to do greater things. Do you believe that? We're beginning to see that. We're beginning to see that in mighty, mighty ways up and down the face of this country. I believe that that's a plural you, that we need each other in this, that God gives the anointing to the body, and individuals may be used in a variety of ways, but it's the body of Christ that's moving into this thing. The promise of Jesus is like that promise. If you see me, you're going to get the answer to that prayer, a double portion. A double portion, greater works than Jesus did, we're going to do. Where is the God of Elijah? He's waiting for another Elijah to call on him. That's the answer to that question. Where is the God of Elijah? He's with you, Elisha. If you'll be another Elijah, he's with you. Where is the God of Jesus? He's waiting for the body of Christ to dare to take him at his word, to believe him for mighty things, to be open to his Spirit moving through us to fulfill his promise and to express himself as he chooses. And I believe that however great it's been thus far, you ain't seen nothing yet. When I said a minute ago, wouldn't you have loved to have been there? My own answer is no. I wouldn't change places with Elisha for one moment, because we've got an anointing, if we dare to believe it and if we dare to enter it, that so vastly exceeds his. Do you believe that?
Yes, amen.
Let's get with it. Let's stand and pray together. Note the order. He had to pick up the mantle. He had to call upon God. And he had to strike out in faith. Father God, we are those who are anointed with the anointing of Christ. That's our very name, the anointed ones, Christianios. The anointed ones. We have the very mantle of Christ. We claim that tonight. Your gift, not our merit. We call out to you. We can't do this thing but by the power of God. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. We call out to you, Lord, to express yourself in mighty ways here in our midst. We thank you, Lord, for all we've seen and experienced thus far. We thank you for Lois's testimony tonight of your power sparing her life in the midst of devastating accident. We thank you, Lord, for those who can stand and bear witness to your healing touch, having restored their bodies, that are here in our midst tonight. And yet, Lord, we'd be like Elisha, greedy for a double portion. Lord, we want everything that you have for us. And then, Lord, we recognize that you leave it to us to strike that water, to move out in faith. And we would do so boldly because of the Lord Jesus. Boldly because you've enjoined us to do so. We would dare to believe you for great and mighty things this night. Lord, we ask you to meet every need because you've promised to do so. And reveal the mighty arm of the Lord for Jesus' sake. Amen.